Welcome to the day 15 fireside chat. Woohoo, you did it. Day 15. Yeah, you did it. I'm so happy that you made it this far. And take a moment to appreciate yourself. Give yourself a big old pat on the back that you actually completed this 15-day challenge. That is no small feat. This was a lot of content I kind of threw your way. And so whether you listen to every single day or not, just take a moment and appreciate yourself for being here, for showing up, for doing your best, and most importantly, for showing up for you, you know, for committing to find some tools and resources to make your life better. Just from the fact that you spent some time and energy focusing on learning more about mindfulness and meditation and listening to the fireside chats, thinking about ways that you could improve your life to have more happiness and less fear, overcome self-doubt, and stop worrying, all of these different topics we've been discussing. The fact that you spent your time and energy listening to and thinking about and ruminating on and feeling these different topics means that you are going to get more of all of this. Yay! Because wherever you put your focus and your attention and time in life is where you see results. So just the fact that you have spent time focusing on how you could be more joyful means that you are going to feel more joyful. It really is that simple. So good for you. I'm so excited and happy for you. And today we're going to be doing one of my favorite techniques, which is how to rewire your brain for positivity. This is so wonderful. And we talked about this already a little bit in day two, Cultivating Joy, where I introduced you to the topic of neuroplasticity. As I mentioned, now that we have the research around neuroplasticity and the fact that, you know, your brain is creating new neurons and neural pathways are now connecting the more that you think or feel these habitual thought patterns, to me, that means that it is the best use of our time to focus on rewiring your brain for positivity. It's like, why would we not spend a ton of our time and energy doing this if it actually works and we can be happier and less stressed and more peaceful? So that is what we're going to be doing today in today's guided meditation. I'm so excited about it because it's something different. I have an outside expert, an energy healer named Elizabeth Furist, who's going to be teaching you this wonderful technique to actually kind of blow up some things in your brain and then build new neural pathways and fill yourself with 24 karat gold. So one of the things that I love to do, one of my old business partners joked that I'm like a spiritual concierge. I love referring people to other books and healers and teachers and resources. And so in all of my group coaching programs, in the Create Work You Love program, which is my main group coaching program for people who want to find work that they love. And then in my mastermind program, which is all around creating a life you love, what I do is I open my Rolodex and I bring in all of these outside teachers and healers, intuitives and coaches, some of the people who have changed my life, who've been mentors and teachers of mine, or who I still go to when I'm having a big block or an issue that I just can't seem to move through on my own. I bring those people into the program, and they're some of our outside experts and guest teachers. And so Elizabeth was actually a guest teacher in our Tactical Magic Mastermind, the mastermind program that I teach. It's a 10-month program. And she taught everyone the technique that we're going to be doing today to actually visualize or imagine that you're rewiring different parts of your brain and then fill yourself up with 24 karat gold, which is a very wonderful feeling. So I know you'll enjoy that. What I want to share about rewiring your brain for positivity, you know, I'm also trained in something called neuro-linguistic programming, which is a way to rewire your brain to change behavior. And it really works. There's another system out there called DNRS, Dynamic Neural Retraining System, that I have not done myself, but one of my colleagues is trained in and raves about. So if you want to learn more about this, you can check that out. You can Google Dynamic Neural Retraining System and possibly even go to one of their trainings yourself. There's a lot of resources and programs and courses that are now becoming available to help us actually rewire our brain so that we can have more of the experiences we want in life. When you change your thoughts and you change the feelings that those thoughts create, you really can change your life. Have you ever wanted to change some facet of your personality, but another part of you insisted that it was impossible, either because of your genetic programming or just feeling like that's who you are? It's this habitual thing, or it's just part of your identity that has built up over time and it feels like it's just part of who you are? Well, I have some good news for you. So many of us have been taught to believe in biologically determined things, as if we have, you know, unhappy genes or shy genes, fat genes or bad luck genes, among many others. And we think, well, it's just the luck of the draw, and that will tell you whether or not, you know, you're born with more or less happiness as your baseline or with more or less weight gaining genes. And these beliefs, while they mean to be helpful, and they're trying to protect us from the disappointment of failure, they actually keep you stuck in an excuse-driven life. Using the excuse of genetic programming or conditioning not to do anything about the personal characteristics that you dislike is popular, and it's a clearly acceptable way to think about things in today's culture. When you believe that this is just who you are, a sense of powerlessness comes in when it comes to altering anything about yourself that's become so established that it feels like, well, this is just who I am. And this can be especially true when you observe traits and characteristics that have been with you for as long as you can recall. So it's very easy for us to fall into this trap of believing, well, I've always been this way, and then limiting our beliefs about who we can be in the future based on who we've been in the past. But here's the really cool thing. There's some fascinating research that's coming out that shows that actually our beliefs trump our genes. So one of the pioneers of this new way of understanding DNA is Dr. Bruce Lipton, a PhD and cell biologist who taught medical students before resigning to do research and lecture full-time. And in his groundbreaking book called The Biology of Belief, Lipton writes that life is not controlled by genes. In fact, his research led him to the conclusion that they're strictly blueprints. The invisible, formless energy that constitutes the genes' environment is actually the architect that turns the blueprint into this mystery we call life. And listing hundreds of research results, Bruce concludes that the old medical model depicting life's essential building blocks as physical particles is misleading, incomplete, and in most cases, false. Treating illness, mostly with drugs or surgery to facilitate a healing, actually should be re-examined. And Lipton's conclusions led him to resign from the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine because he discovered that what he'd been teaching, the model of physical particles as the controlling force in life, was actually incorrect. He realized that both the human body and the universe itself are mental and spiritual in nature. There's a field of invisible energy with a total absence of physical properties that creates the particles that we call cells. And this invisible field is the sole governing function of the body. So since the body is not exclusively a physical machine, we can all find out how to control and impact our health. What's even more surprising is Lipton's understanding that our personal belief systems, including our perceptions, have the capacity to trump our genetic inheritance and our cellular DNA. They've now shown with epigenetics that basically we can turn these different genes off and on, and it's possible to influence these tiny, tiny particles that we've come to believe are the ultimate determiners of our lives. So what that means is, when you change the way you think and you learn new ways of perceiving, you can actually change your DNA. What? So cool. In other words, you can impact and alter your genetic structure by modifying how you see yourself and how you see your place in this crazy mystery that we call life. So your perceptions have the power to change your genetic makeup, and your beliefs can and do control your biology. This may sound, you know, crazy, radical, or even impossible, but it is this awareness that's going to help you say goodbye to any final excuses that you've been holding on to that have been preventing you from changing and creating the life that you really want. So if you want to go further into this research or this topic, you can check out the book, The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton. Now, here's another fascinating thing. I shared some of the placebo effect earlier. You've probably heard of those studies where sugar pills are given to a control group, you know, believing that they're getting the remedy for, let's say, arthritis, and then it turns out to be as effective as the drug itself. Well, the placebo effect occurs not just when it comes to pills, but also when it comes to surgery. So there's a Baylor School of Medicine study published in 2002 in the New England Journal of Medicine that looked at surgery for patients with severe debilitating knee pain. And the lead author of the study, Dr. Bruce Mosley, knew that the knee surgery helped his patients, but he was trying to figure out which part of the surgery was giving his patients relief. The patients in the study were divided into three groups. And Mosley shaved the damaged cartilage in the knee of one group. For another group, he flushed out the knee joint, removing material thought to be causing the inflammatory effect. So both of these constitute standard treatment for arthritic knees. The third group got a fake surgery. The patient was sedated. Mosley made three standard incisions and then talked and acted just as he would have during a real surgery. He even splashed salt water to simulate the sound of the knee washing procedure. After 40 minutes, Mosley sewed up the incisions as if he'd done a real surgery. All three groups were prescribed the same postoperative care, which included an exercise program. The results were shocking. Yes, the groups who received surgery, as expected, improved. But the placebo group improved just as much as the other two groups, despite the fact that they'd had no real surgery. Here's the crazy thing. There's 650,000 surgeries yearly for arthritic knees, and they cost about $5,000 each. And Mosley, after seeing the results of this study, said, "My skill as a surgeon had no benefit on these patients. The entire benefit of surgery for osteoarthritis of the knee was the placebo effect." This is crazy. And TV news programs even followed the stunning results. They showed members of the placebo group walking and playing basketball, doing things they reported they could not do before their quote-unquote surgery. And the placebo patients didn't find out for 2 years that they'd gotten fake surgery. Once they did, one member of the placebo group, this guy Tim Perez, who had to walk with a cane before the surgery, is now able to play basketball with his grandchildren. And he summed up the theme when he said to Discovery Health Channel, "In this world, anything is possible when you put your mind to it. I know that your mind can work miracles." What? So how crazy is that? So there's so many studies that have shown that severe depression, heart disease, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, ulcers, and even cancer can be healed by the power of the mind. And the new biology is clearly showing that beliefs, some of which are conscious, most of which are subconscious or habitual, determine our physical and mental health, along with our level of happiness and success. So it's similar to what author James Allen observed when he said, "We do not attract that which we want, but that which we are." So who I am is first and foremost determined by what I believe. And that leads me to focus on the fact that limitations or traits inherited from your ancestors are absolutely not the final word. So here's the deal. Thinking that you'll always be poor, unlucky, overweight, or underweight, or that you'll always have an addictive personality, that you'll never attract your soulmate, that you'll continue to have angry outbursts, that you'll always lack musical, artistic, or athletic ability, or that you'll forever be shy because you've always felt that way. These are all excuses. And the important thing is for you to ask yourself, do I really want to hold on to these habitual behaviors that are ultimately capable of making me less happy? Once you start identifying and eliminating your excuses, your whole life will change. On the other hand, if you believe that these are firmly entrenched personality traits and habits of thinking that can't be challenged, you'll kind of, as Wayne Dyer says in his book, Excuses Be Gone, You'll symbolically suck your thumb and cry when life doesn't appear to cooperate with what you want. It's so much more energizing and fulfilling to look at your excuses and eliminate them and to focus on rewiring your brain, your genetics, and your neurology to create the kind of human being you want to be. So using this new set of beliefs, you can actually enhance your life and help attract all that you really are. And at the same time, you'll be modeling a new and better way to live for the people in your environment who are unwitting victims of this excuse paradigm. I used to get really angry really easily, and I can attest to how well these tools work because I used to be someone who could go from 0 to 100 in a flash, and I still can in certain situations. I remember when, you know, my husband and I, after we first started dating and several months in when we got in our first big fight, I remember like storming off and walking out of the car and slamming the door, walking several blocks away. And I would just have these outbursts that seemed uncontrollable to me. And after, you know, gosh, almost a decade of doing all this different personal development work, I have actually shaped my personality. I still get angry. I still flip my lid and lose my marbles, as we call it. But it happens so much less often. And when it does happen, I'm able to notice that I've gone off the tracks more quickly and, you know, remove myself from the situation. I'll put myself in what I like to call a mommy timeout, where I'll like walk down the hall and go into the bedroom by myself before I lash out at my children and take it out on them. Now, I don't do that every time. Sometimes I still lash out at them. I am human after all. But I really have noticed a significant shift in my own behavior after taking the time to consciously think about who do I want to be in the world? I don't have to believe that I'm just somebody who defaults to anger out of my own conditioning from my childhood or out of some genetic makeup. That's all bullshit. I get to decide. I get to choose every single day and every single moment who I want to be. And I still make mistakes, yes. And I still go to the old way of thinking and being. But with practice, with patience, with loving kindness and self-compassion, you can bring yourself back to center and bring yourself back to asking the question of who do I want to be in this moment? How do I want to show up for myself, for the people I love, and in my life? How can I live a more intentional life? To me, that is the ultimate purpose of all of these tools, the mindfulness, the meditation, all of the topics we've talked about over the last 15 days. The point is, who do you want to be? You get to choose. You get to decide. It makes me want to cry, honestly. You can be anybody you want. You can show up in any way you want. At first, it can be very discouraging to hear that you're the one in charge, because if you're not showing up the way you want, you might be a little bit like, F you, Vanessa. I don't want to believe this. But once you take responsibility and you own that truth, it's so empowering because you get to choose. You get to decide. Other people around you might suck. They might be awful. You know, I'm not saying it means stay in an abusive situation. You're still going to have boundaries and stand up for yourself. But even when horrible things happen to you, you get to decide how you're going to respond or react. What if everything wasn't happening to you, but for you? Even the experiences that you thought were so horrible or that you didn't want consciously, what if everything is happening for you? You can turn all of this on its head and have a totally different belief structure about things. I don't know, that's my greatest wish for you and for myself, for all beings, that we live more intentionally and that we remember who we really are. You are a being of love and light and pure joy and playfulness and happiness, and you deserve to experience that every single day of your life. If you're not experiencing that, I guarantee you can, and you will, as long as you're committed to it, to creating that in your life and doing whatever it takes to make it happen. I promise you, when you make a commitment to get more of what you want in life, the resources, the teachers, the books, the whatever you need will show up for you. So I'm just feeling so grateful that you've been here with me during this 15-day challenge. And I'm grateful that you're here on this planet right now in this time, space, continuum. I don't even know how to end this. I just almost want to keep talking to you. And it's really weird because we're not even having a conversation. I'm basically talking at you. But I'm imagining my dear friend Bridget. Hi, Bridget, who said that listening to these meditations has made her feel like we're hanging out. And I feel the same way. I feel like I'm hanging out with all of you. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me. And let's keep the conversation going. Leave a comment on this page and let us know. What did you think of the 15-day challenge? What were some of your favorite meditations, or how did it help you or shape your worldview? I really, really would love to know. And it'll also inform, you know, some of the content we create going forward. So please leave a comment. If you have any questions or concerns, you can always reach out to info@vanessaloder.com. And I just hope that we can stay in each other's communities and lives and keep this conversation going. So I'm sending you lots of love and encouragement and support from afar. I know you can do it. I know you can design your life exactly how you want it to be and reshape your personality if that's what you want, to show up in love and light and compassion for yourself and for others. Think of the healing that would happen, not just for you, but for our planet, if we could all do that just 5% more of the time. Have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you soon and to stay in touch. Much love.